Hello, I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Roger Grimes, data-driven defense evangelist for KnowBefore, the world's first and largest new school security awareness training and simulated phishing provider that helps you manage the ongoing problem of social engineering. Roger, welcome. As always, so great to be speaking with you.
Yes, I'm glad to be back.
So, Roger, I'm always admiring your LinkedIn presence, and I'm continuously plugging it regularly here on the show. So it's fitting that today we begin our conversation for this week with the latest threat that lives on LinkedIn. But before we dive in, or really I let you dive in, I want to quickly listen to CNBC's Yasmin Khorum speak with FBI Special Agent in Charge Sean Reagan about what's going on. So let me play that clip for us.
How big of a threat is this on LinkedIn?
It's a significant threat.
Sean Reagan, special agent in charge of the FBI San Francisco and Sacramento field offices, says criminal rings are exploiting LinkedIn to lure users into crypto investment schemes by people offering financial advice, but who end up stealing the victim's savings. Reagan says the FBI is working closely with LinkedIn to combat the fraud. The FBI has open investigations, but would not disclose specifics about pending cases.
Unfortunately, just like any other good thing, there are unscrupulous people, organizations, entities out there that want to take advantage of that platform as an opportunity to commit fraud and other criminal activities.
So, Roger, now that we just listened to that clip, I know that KnowBefore also reported on this story on the blog. So I guess tell us more, like what's going on? Why is this happening? How is this happening? And what can people do to protect themselves?
I guess, you know, it should be flattery to Microsoft. You know, anytime you make a popular product or service, it's going to be abused by scammers. I've had all kinds of fake scammers contact me on LinkedIn for years and years. And interesting, you know, it started out as like dating romance scams. I think I've talked to them earlier about these beautiful young girls contact me and tell me how much they love, you know, what I write or something like that. And I would look at their profile and they would be these models or, you know, just nobody affiliated with computer security. And initially, first couple times, I didn't suspect them as being scammers. I would literally reply, "Are you sure you're connecting to the right person?" And they wouldn't respond. But, you know, later on, I quickly learned to recognize. As a matter of fact, I would say if someone's trying to scam me with an old, ugly person or something, because anytime I see a super beautiful person, young person reaching out to me, I just immediately think scam. But it kind of changed even over the years. I would have people even connect to me from existing accounts that were taken over. So there would be real people that I knew or real confirmed identities and their accounts would be taken over. And then they would start to try to initiate conversations. Some of them would try to get me to download content. I had that just happen last week. Somebody said, "Oh, you know, I'm a student and, you know, hoping, you know, you can help guide my career. I love your work." And, you know, it actually went on for a couple of back and forth sessions. And eventually they said, "Hey, can I send you my plan, my career plan or whatever?" It was kind of weird, but I opened it up in a safe machine and it was actually a PDF loaded with malware, with links to malware.
Oh, wow.
That would have taken over my system. So I was like, "Oh, okay, someone trying to compromise me." You know, and I'm somewhat known as a C-tier person that writes. And so it's not unknown to me that I get scammed or people try to infect. You know, I write bad about hackers all the time. But the LinkedIn scams are just across the board for everyone. It's romance scams. It's job scams. You know, they're just trying to use it as a place where they can initiate contact with people. And, you know, even me, who's supposed to be a somewhat mature cybersecurity professional, that, you know, the first couple of times it kind of caught me off guard because, you know, the normal human reaction is that, you know, we try to trust people and we want to be helpful to people and that sort of stuff. And let me say, sometimes you don't always know the difference between a well-meaning person and a scammer. But what I tell people is that you can get scammed a bunch of different ways. Email phishing is the most common way. You know, it can be from a taken over website that you visit all the time. It's just compromised during the time you visit it. It can be a social media account, you know, like Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. It can be, you know, a message, an SMS message to your phone. It can be someone that voice calls you. It can be somebody that's even in person. And anytime, what I tell people is there's four traits of most scams, regardless of the channel or the medium used to get to you, right? It's the message that's important. And the four traits of most scams, not all of them, but most scams are: number one, it's an unexpected connection out to you. You didn't reach out to them. They reached out to you. Number two, they are the requester, even if you think you know them or they have this legitimate account, you know, if they're asking you to do something that you've never done for them for the first time. And if performing it, if it's malicious, could hurt you. And the fourth trait is that they usually have some sort of, you need to do it now, what we call a stressor event. You know, oh, I need to do this to get my resume done. I need to do this to, you know, or I'm going to miss out on this thing, or you'll miss out on this thing. But if, you know, any event, any message has those four key traits, which is, again, the person reached out to you, you know, it was unexpected. They're asking you to do something they've never asked you to do before. There's a stressor event related. And if performing that action could be harmful to your interest or your organization's interest, well, you shouldn't do it. You should slow down. You know, so when somebody sends like, oh, will you open my PDF that talks about my career goals or something like that? You know, I was like, this is kind of interesting. And it wasn't a stressor event, but three of the four events were there. And so I opened the PDF up in a safe forensic machine and ended up having malware, which I told the person, they were just, shocked. They were just shocked that their PDF had lots of malware. But you know what? They didn't contact me anymore. But, you know, there's all sorts of stuff. There's even deep fakes and people applying for a remote job. LinkedIn's a little bit more of a professional social media site as compared to maybe Instagram or Facebook or something. And so there's a lot more fake job postings. You know, someone will post a job or go, hey, are you interested in this job? And, you know, on LinkedIn, you can claim to be anybody you want to be. And then you get personal information out of people. You can get them to open documents. You know, you can even get them to pay fees for, you know, oh, we need to do a background research before we give you this dream job. I've read in Reddit where there actually is like this community of people that are actually running job scams where they're like virtual CISOs for like four or five different companies making multi six figure salaries at each job. And they say they hardly work at any of these companies. They said, we're the boss, we're the CISO. So whenever we get told to do something, I just tell one of my, you know, employees to do it. You know, I delegate. And so there's this entire subculture of people that just work this scam of working multiple jobs as executives, cybersecurity executives for all these different companies. And these companies have no idea. And on Reddit, they're like, ask me anything about how I pulled this scam off. Oh, it's so great. I'm making over $1 million a year or making $500,000 a year. And I'm not even working. So kind of interested in all of that. You know, I think ultimately all of us just have to be skeptical of anything that's done over the internet or over a phone. Or if you can't verify the identity for sure, you just need to be have this default skepticism. And just be careful and just realize there's fakes out there and fake people and fake rental ads and fake jobs. And it's a sad world, but we have to be a lot more skeptical right now till the internet gets safer by default.
Yeah, absolutely. And you actually jogged my memory about something I experienced on LinkedIn, which was, this was a few years ago, but someone, I think they had taken over the LinkedIn account of a professor I had who passed away. They emailed me a PDF through his account and they said, there's a new company I'm working with and they have a request for a proposal. This is when I was in advertising. I'd love for you to take a look at it. I looked at the message and I was in new business, so I was very excited about that opportunity. But then I stopped myself and I was like, this man is dead. Like, how? What? This is... I was like, wait, what? This is crazy. But it was like very well done. And I was just trying to remember. I'm like, did I open it? Did my curiosity get the best of me? But no, I didn't open it, I don't think. But it was just wild.
Yeah, I've heard of others where, and maybe it was the one I'm getting ready to mention was on Twitter and not LinkedIn, but it could have been LinkedIn just the same, where this legitimate person's account got compromised and he was like the leader of some Buffalo Soldiers or something, some, you know, a tight-knit group of African-American soldiers, and his account was hacked and he was doing this scam where they claim, oh, you can apply for this loan. In this case, it was for veterans and you can get $100,000 and all you have to do is give us your financial information. And this guy's daughter had seen it and was trying to convince her dad that, no, this is a scam, and trying to help her and even talking to her dad. We could not convince him it was a scam. He was even having a hard time sending the money. Not only did he give his financial information, they didn't say, hey, you need to send us like $1,000 to open this account and then we'll send the money to you. And it turned out that the leader of that group had died. just like you said. But I'm amazed with that and just regular romance scams, how difficult, once the scam is in progress, it can be really difficult to convince people that it's a scam because they have so much emotion invested in, you know, what they're in the middle of. You know, or I have the saying, I didn't make this up, somebody like Plato or something, but, you know, the heart has a mind, which the mind knows nothing of. It can just be tough, you know, if you don't catch it, or even when you do catch it. It's interesting. Some humans, I think you and me and a lot of our listeners, we're probably more likely to be overly skeptical and really like, no way, that's too good to be true. But there's the other side of the coin where people really buy in quickly, and it can be really difficult to disengage them from that fantasy scenario that they've been brought into. I would love for someone to study that, why some people, it has nothing to do with intelligence. I mean, many of the people that are scammed are doctors and lawyers and business people. And, you know, I just wonder, what is it about the human need to connect and be loved or rich or whatever that literally just overrides what we would say is common sense, even when presented with incredible evidence that what this person's involved in is more than likely a scam. They just are very difficult to turn. I mean, romance scams in particular, I know people that have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, homes, cars, all their friends, broken relationships with everybody. And it's so clearly a scam to anybody on the outside that's investigating. You know, I've helped prove to people that the person they're dealing with is not who they say they are. I've done that many times. And most of the time, almost never did it actually result in the person being scammed stop being scammed. Like, they're just so emotionally invested, even when proved, they somehow fight against and continue to send money and things to the scammer. It's an interesting thing about just whatever human emotions and emotional intelligence and that sort of stuff. I would love to read somebody's take on it one day when they figure it out.
Yeah, me too. That's so sad, but I'd love to read about it. I guess the next topic I want to hear you weigh in on, Roger, is it's a new class of attack that the Microsoft Security Research Center recently reported on, which is account pre-hijacking. So I guess to start off, Roger, what is account pre-hijacking? And I guess how is this a new class of attack?
So account pre-hijacking, which actually kind of reminds me of URL pre-hijacking decades ago, but essentially with account pre-hijacking, the attacker takes a guess at a popular service of some sort, like let's say Zoom, and figures out that there's a good chance that, let's say, Roger will join Zoom. He doesn't have a Zoom account, but Zoom's taking off, or Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram, whatever the new hottest thing is. TikTok would be another great example. And they're like, oh, okay. They realize that Roger doesn't have an account with TikTok or with Zoom, but he's likely, because it's a really popular growing service, going to get an account there. And oh, look at this. Roger, when his other accounts on Facebook and stuff, he always does Roger or Roger G or whatever it is I might do, or Roger A. Grimes or something like that. And so they guess that, okay, Roger's going to get a Zoom account. Roger's going to get a TikTok account. They then go create a fake account. They either create the fake account or they start to create the fake account. This is really good to read in the notes, the Microsoft research. In some cases, they create the fake account and they make sure that the kind of the password reset thing is to another fake account that they create. The original account, let's say the Zoom account, they'll point it back to the person's real email address. So then when the person tries to sign up for Zoom, it's going to say, oh, you already have an account with us. And the person's like, what? Oh, I didn't remember I made a Zoom account. I guess I made a Zoom account. But they're like, they don't remember the password. Most people say, well, let me go and reset the password so I can get back in. And when they do the password reset, the hackers have pre-populated that with their own email address. So they know the person is going to use this account, but they get it preset to the send for the password reset to their account. And so they're able to kind of take control of this account ahead of time. It ultimately comes down to that the service that's involved lets someone set up an account without verifying that the person setting up the account has control of the original email account. So let's say I'm setting up a Zoom account, and I would normally, as Roger, the real Roger, I would set up my Zoom account to point to my KnowBefore account, you know, Roger G at KnowBefore.com. So the attacker finds out, goes to look, does Roger G at KnowBefore.com already have a Zoom account? Okay, no, he doesn't. I'm going to set up an account saying Roger Grimes using the primary email address or the login name of Roger G at KnowBefore.com. But as they go to set up that account, they put the password reset email account. Usually it's like an alternative email address or something. They point it to some other new email account that they've just created. So when, again, I go to set up the account, it's like, oh, you've already got this existing account. Let me do the password reset. But the password reset goes to the attacker. And then the attacker can now use that Zoom account as if they were me. That's what Microsoft found out, is that there are these services, a lot of services out there, where somebody can just make up an account. You know, they can copy your picture, my picture, Hillary, and use your name and use all your details. And even the big key is usually the email, the original primary email account is tied to the victim's real email account, but the secondary account is tied to the hacker's secondary email account. And the service is not verifying that the person registering the account, this is the primary problem. The service is not registering that the primary account being registered is actually in control. Like a very simple security thing would be for the service, the identity service being used, that it would go, oh, you say your email address is RogerG at KnowBefore.com. Let me send you a verification email as you go to set up this account. I think you and I, when we sign up for services, that's a really common thing. We're going to send you a confirmation that your email address really is, in my case, RogerG at KnowBefore.com, before we'll allow you to continue to set up this account. Microsoft found out in their research that something like 32 or 35 or 37 of the 75 services they checked did not verify the user's claimed email address before they allowed the user or the hacker to set up the account. So it's pretty big. So the primary problem is that the service that you could join is not verifying that the person creating the account actually controls the account before it's allowing them to have that account and identity. And that was the primary problem. They also said some of the services, what's called Microsoft correctly calls federated services, that would be things like OAuth, open authorization, where, you know, you can go, oh, I want to join using my Facebook account or my Twitter account or my Apple iTunes account. A lot of these websites allow you to log in using these what's called federated services. And Microsoft said, again, it sometimes allowed an attacker could set up a fake account, let's say in Twitter. So they could set up a fake Twitter account for you, Hillary, then go to join another service using that fake Twitter account that looked like your real account, but it wasn't. But then when you came on in, logging in with another service, like you'd log into that same service, but maybe using your real login, that service would unfortunately map the fake federated identity to your real account. And then the attacker could now access stuff that your real account had access to. So the problem was what's called federated services and native services would sometimes map a fake federated service to the native identity service or vice versa. And the hacker, you know, predefining that account allowed this takeover that the victim had no knowledge about. You know, again, it comes down to just guessing, where will Roger or Hillary join? You know, like Instagram's taking off, or TikTok's taking off. There's a really good chance that Roger and Hillary will join TikTok. So let me see what type of login name that Roger and Hillary use. Let's go pre-create that account on TikTok. And then using the sleight of hand trick of using the first, you're using an accurate primary email address, you're using a password reset alternate email address that points to a fake account, they're able to take over the user's account when they go to set it up and then pretend to be that user and start the fraud against other people. And sometimes, you know, causing great damage and harm.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense, because initially my understanding, I was like, well, I don't want people to pretend to be me, but if they're just pretending to be me, like, what are they gaining? But now that makes a lot of sense.
And again, there used to be years ago where people would do things like that with URLs, like, oh, they'd know, oh, Roger A. Grimes is, you know, that might be a URL, rogeragrimes.com or something like that. And so they would pre-buy that domain, and then they could pretend to be me and send out, you know, emails and invitations. Imagine, Hillary, if somebody right now could set up, you know, hillarymcglure.com, use your picture, use your name. There really is nothing to prevent anybody from completely pretending to be you if that domain name has not been taken. And then they could start sending emails to your friends and family and fans claiming to be you. And there's really no way for a person receiving, you know, contacts from hillarymcglure.com not to know that it really isn't you.
Ugh, nobody do that to me. Everyone listening, don't do that.
You need to go lock up your domain right now.
I know.
Before our listeners start doing it.
Doesn't exist yet, so it's open. It's available.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Roger.
Do it to Roger. No, I'm just kidding.
So someone did that. Someone did that
did
to
they?
Me. Yeah, on rogergrimes.com a long time ago. Roger A. Grimes is the same name as a Canadian politician, a leader of the Labour Party in Newfoundland. And I used to get emails all the time at my Microsoft email account. I forget what I was, but I was probably rgrimes at microsoft.com or something. But I would get all these angry emails telling me they were upset with me whenever I was taking away fishing rights in Canada.
Oh, interesting.
And I was like, you're emailing somebody at microsoft.com. You have to know I'm not the same guy. But it had to do with this fake website somebody set up, and then they linked it to my Microsoft account.
Oh,
so I was getting all this harassing email, and they wouldn't stop sometimes. Like, I would tell them, listen, I'm not this Canadian politician. I'm, you know, this guy works at Microsoft. And they wouldn't stop. So sometimes in frustration, I would just write back, I'm taking away your halibut rights too. Just to troll them. But I'm older and more mature now.
Well, sounds like you were pushed to that place.
Yeah. And, you know, let me say, and it all comes back to, we really, you know, unfortunately, the internet and even telephones and things and, you know, telephone calls and SMS messages and social media, they really are not trustworthy identity validating things. And let me say, direct phone calls, really, no, I can't trust that the phone number really is coming from who it's coming from. Mm. With deep fakes, if somebody has recorded your voice from all your interviews, Hillary, they could create a deep fake, you know, and call people and, you know, say something. And it's getting harder and harder. You know, right now, the world is a very insecure place. It is not secure by default. It's something we have to recognize, that we can't trust people to be who they say they are, or that the accounts that are claiming to be them are actually under their control, because the internet's so widely insecure. There's a whole lot of fraud, a whole lot of hacking, a whole lot of scammers going on. And everybody needs to recognize that and make sure that any contact, and, you know, it takes a while to develop, but any contact, you have to be initially skeptical of it until you can prove that you can trust the request or the person sending it, because it's an unsafe place today, unfortunately. And one day it will be a safe place for our children and grandchildren and mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers to compute. But today that isn't the case. And so we all have to have skepticism by default.
Completely agreed. And again, nobody do this to us. That's my closing statement. Please don't do it. I don't even know how to begin to calculate damages if that were to happen. But Roger, as always, in all seriousness, thank you very much for joining me today. And I'm sure our audience enjoyed you weighing in on these hot topics, and looking forward to next week.
Yes, me too. Thanks a lot, and take care, everybody.
I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Roger Grimes, data-driven defense evangelist for KnowBefore, the world's first and largest new school security awareness training and simulated phishing provider that helps you manage the ongoing problem of social engineering.